Comic Extravaganza is brought to you by Where'sMyCreditCard.com. If you're looking for the coolest products and swag, check out Where'sMyCreditCard.com. Also brought to you by Comic Bento. Get $50 or more worth of graphic novels in your mailbox every month for less than $20. Check out this awesome subscription service for graphic novel and comic book lovers at mycomicbento.com. Hey there, all you hip cats, cool kittens, you guys and dolls, you diesel-powered disciples of cool. This is Comic Extravaganza, and I am your diesel punk prophet of pop culture, the comic book loving, time traveling artist, also known as Big Daddy Cool. You can call me Johnny, and I am back on the air. It's been a while. It's been about 8 or 9 weeks since I've been on the air, and some of you have been asking, where's Johnny? What's happened to Johnny? We've not seen him on video. We've not heard him on the podcast. Is he still alive? What's going on? And ladies and gentlemen, the reports of my death are greatly exaggerated. However, I have been taking a break on purpose. I've been away from the microphone and been away from the video cameras on purpose because I'm working on a personal project, and I'm going to be making a big return in February. It's all part of my master plan, but I had to go live tonight. I had to come on the air to talk about the big movie release from this week. Of course, Doctor Strange. I went and saw Doctor Strange opening night and really enjoyed it. It was kind of a mind screw kind of movie. If you like The Matrix, if you liked Inception, it's kind of like Matrix meets Inception with Marvel superheroes. And, you know, I liked it a lot. It was a really fun movie. I gotta tell you guys, though, since I've been off the air, there has been a movie come out that I saw that really has set the bar really high for 2016. And that is Kubo and the Two Strings. This movie was phenomenal. It was beautiful. It was well written. The animation was the best I've ever seen in my life. And the soundtrack was just perfection. And for me, in 2016, everything else is being measured against Kubo and the Two Strings. Now, I know that nobody listening went and saw it. It was a monumental failure for the studio. It does come out on video, I think, November 22nd. So go out, get it, watch it, love it. That was the best movie I've seen this year. But Doctor Strange came out, and I really enjoyed it a lot. Now, I don't want to give away any aspects of the film, but I do want to say that Benedict Cumberbatch was perfect as Dr. Stephen Strange. A lot of people are comparing this movie to Iron Man and Iron Man's origin because Doctor Strange is kind of a similar character, you know, wealthy, cocky kind of guy. But that's really where the similarities end. And of course, you know, he's in a car wreck, his hands are damaged, he can't be a neurosurgeon anymore. So he goes off to find a cure in Eastern medicine, and he finds himself being recruited by Baron Mordo and the Ancient One, played by Tilda Swinton. Now, I was really excited to see what Tilda Swinton did because, as you know, in the comic books, and let's just put it out there, guys, comic book canon is not film canon. So I was excited to see how they were going to deal with Ancient One being a woman. In the comics, he's an Asian man. He looks like what he says. In this, Tilda Swinton looked like she was, you know, her age, late 30s, mid 40s, in great physical condition, very attractive. And so she did a great job. She was my favorite character. I was really fascinated by her and by the way she played the part. my favorite part of the film. The big bad, if you haven't seen the previews already, if you haven't seen the spoilers, then you know, you should know by now that Dormammu is the big bad of the film. And without spoiling it, all I can say is the way that Doctor Strange defeats Dormammu is brilliant. It's really brilliant because Doctor Strange doesn't use physical force to beat Dormammu. He uses his mind. He uses his brain, his greatest weapon. And that's what really sets this movie apart from the other Marvel movies. The conflict is not resolved with physical force. It's resolved with brain power. And that was really, really cool. Visually, it's completely different from anything Marvel has done. Like I said, it's Matrix meets Inception. And just make sure you stick around for the mid-credit scene and the post-credit scene. You will not want to miss it. I will say this one thing. There are a lot of Easter eggs in the movie. We got Daniel Drum, the brother of Jericho Drum, Brother Voodoo, appearing in the movie. There's a potential reference to Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers. We're not sure. But there is one character played by Rachel McAdams who I felt was a complete waste of casting. Not a problem with the character. I really wished it had been Claire, the night nurse. That would have been more in line with comic book canon. We know, of course, Rosario Dawson is tied up with the Netflix series with Luke Cage, Iron Fist, The Defenders, that whole universe. And those two studios aren't talking to each other, which is a shame, because it would have been really great if Dr. Palmer had been the night nurse instead. Now, we might see her appear later on down the road. Who knows? But I felt like casting Rachel McAdams for that part was really a waste of casting. Nothing wrong with the character. Nothing wrong with the story. It just wasn't a character that warranted an A-list actress. They probably could have saved a lot of money in the budget by casting, you know, someone else. Equally as good, but perhaps an unknown. That having been said, Doctor Strange is the 14th straight number one debut movie for Marvel Studios. Can they do any wrong? It doesn't appear so. They are a juggernaut that is just rolling down the track. And we'll have to wait and see what the second weekend returns are like. But first weekend, huge hit, great movie. My favorite Marvel movie so far is Captain America Winter Soldier, followed by Ant-Man. And I would put this movie above Guardians of the Galaxy, but below Ant-Man. Somewhere kind of in the Avengers, or Captain America Civil War range, kind of in the middle. Really strong movie, though. Make sure you go see it on the big screen because the visual effects are out of this world and you don't want to wait for it to come out on video. So that's all I have to say about Doctor Strange. Now, this show is Comic Extravaganza, so we talk about comics. A couple of things I want to share with you guys. If you're not reading the new Champion series by Marvel, make sure you pick it up. Issue number 2 is on shelves last week. It's basically Nova, Miles Morales, Spider-Man, Miss Marvel, Viv, the Vision's daughter, Totally Awesome Hulk, and Scott Summers' Cyclops, leaving the traditional super teams behind to forge out on their own and be champions and create something new. Really great series, well worth taking a look at. You guys know I'm an Avengers fan, I'm an Avengers Freakosaurus, and my focus on this show is the Avengers. And Avengers number 1, part of the new Marvel Now, hit stands this week as well. This is a Kang the Conqueror storyline, and it features a brand new team of Avengers, mostly. We've got Sam Wilson, Captain America, The Vision, and Jane Foster, Thor, from the previous all-new, all-different Avengers. But joining them, rejoining the team, is Hercules. And coming off a fantastic solo series. If you didn't read Hercules and Gods of War, you really missed out on a fantastic series. Also joining the team is Nadia Pym, the daughter of Hank Pym, and she's got the training of the Black Widow, raised in the Red Room. She's got the brain of Hank Pym, the smarts, and the powers of Pym and Janet the Wasp. She is, of course, the new Wasp. And also joining the team is Peter Parker, Spider-Man, and he is now the new financier of the team, and they are moving into the Baxter Building. Earth's Mightiest Heroes, The Avengers, number one. Check it out. Well worth a look. I like to talk about Dieselpunk comics on this show. A couple of great Dieselpunk titles that have come out recently. Flash Gordon, King's Cross. This is the third series featuring Flash Gordon and the quote-unquote Defenders of the Earth, the Phantom, Mandrake, and this features the new Phantom, Lothar as the Phantom, and the Phantom in training, daughter Walker, and basically Ming the Merciless is back and has transplanted part of Mongo on Earth and seeks to conquer the Earth from his new base on Earth. It's written by one of my favorite writers, Jeff Parker. Jeff Parker knows how to write these pulp characters better than just about anybody, except for maybe Joshua Williamson. But Jeff Parker is a great writer. Artwork is by an artist that I wasn't familiar with, Jesse Hamm. And I'm not sure how I feel about the artwork yet. It is very period, but, you know, I don't know. I'm not sold on it yet, but I'm not discounting it. Great story, great characters. Check that out. And finally, if you're not reading Lone Ranger and Green Hornet, you really need to check this out. If you've been a fan of the Green Hornet or Lone Ranger, you know that the Green Hornet was created to capitalize on the popularity of the Lone Ranger radio show back in the 40s. And he was created as the nephew of the Lone Ranger. And in this story, Uncle John Reed, the Lone Ranger, in 1939, has going on one last mission with Elliot Ness and is training the new generation, the next generation of the Reed family, Britt Reed, as a new Lone Ranger for a new generation. But he, Britt Reed, chooses to carry on his own identity as the Green Hornet and forge a new legacy. And really great story writing. This is written by Michael Uslan, and the artwork is by Giovanni Timpano, who at times has some really, really great frames, and at other times, not so great. It's really hit and miss artwork. And I'll tell you, his passion for landscape and backgrounds really comes through in this. He's very detailed in the backgrounds, but I got a problem with some of his, his gestures on the characters, I guess you would say, and some of his facial expressions. It's a little bit overworked, but the story is really, really strong. And I recommend you check it out. Huge historical references in this. Teddy Roosevelt, Buffalo Bill Cody, Jesse Owens, and just it goes on and on. And the cool thing is Uslan has included a bibliography of references in each issue, and goes through, you know, the real life historical references and the tie-ins to the comic story. Really, really great. Check it out. If you're a Dieselpunk, if you're into, you know, the sci-fi retrofuturism of the 1930s and 40s, definitely Lone Ranger Green Hornet is a book to pick up. Well, guys and gals, that is it for this week. I just wanted to touch in, let you know I'm still alive, let you know Comic Extravaganza is still rolling. You can check out the Jesse Owens podcast at graphicpolicy.com on Monday nights. We release new episodes every other week right now, and looking for more hosts to join our little network. And if you're one of those and would like to be considered as a video host or maybe even as a podcast host, give us a ring, drop us a line at comextravaganza@gmail.com. Include a headshot, resume, a little bit about yourself, and let us know why you'd like to join the Comextravaganza team. Well, that's it for me this week, and I'll be back on the air on a regular basis soon. So if you don't hear from me for a while, have no fear, true believers. I will be back, and the next broadcast will be covering Rogue One after its release, because I'm super excited about that. Until the next time, swing hard, swing often. We'll catch you on the flip side.